Welcome to History in a Year, America's first 250 years.
Join us every single day as we journey from the Revolution of 1776 to the 250th anniversary of the United States.
You can find every episode and join the discussion at pointedwords.com. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
It is January 13th. Welcome to episode 13. Yesterday, we watched George Washington save the Revolution by the skin of his teeth at Trenton. That kept the war alive for 1777.
But the British were done playing games. They realized that chasing Washington around New Jersey was a waste of time. They needed a strategic knockout blow.
So they looked at the map. The heart of the rebellion was New England, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire. If they could isolate New England from the rest of the colonies, the rebellion would die.
The plan was elegant, a three-pronged attack. An army would march south from Canada, down the Hudson River. Another army would march north from New York City. They would meet in Albany, control the river, and snap the spine of the American resistance.
The man chosen to lead the Northern Army was General John Burgoyne. They called him Gentleman Johnny.
He was a character straight out of a novel. He was a playwright, a member of Parliament, a gambler, and a bon vivant. He loved champagne, he loved the ladies, and he loved a good show.
He bet his friends in London 50 guineas that he would be home victorious by Christmas. He arrived in Canada in the spring of 1777 and assembled a massive force, 7,000 British regulars and Hessians, plus hundreds of Native American warriors.
But Burgoyne made a fatal mistake before he even started. He didn't pack for a war. He packed for a vacation.
His baggage train was absurd. He had 30 carts just for his own personal wardrobe and champagne. Officers brought their wives and mistresses. The army was dragging heavy artillery through dense forests. They moved at a snail's pace, sometimes only a mile a day.
And the Americans made it worse. General Philip Schuyler ordered his men to chop down massive trees across the roads and destroy bridges. They turned the forest into an obstacle course.
Burgoyne took Fort Ticonderoga easily in July, which caused a panic in America. But then he got stuck in the woods. His supplies ran low. His Native American allies, frustrated by his indecision, abandoned him.
By September 1777, Burgoyne was near Saratoga, New York. He was waiting for the army from New York City to come help him. But he didn't know the truth.
The British general in New York, William Howe, had decided not to come. He decided to go capture Philadelphia instead. For his own glory, he basically ghosted Burgoyne. Gentleman Johnny was on his own.
Waiting for Burgoyne at Saratoga was the American Northern Army, led by General Horatio Gates.
Now, Horatio Gates was, well, let's be polite, he was a cautious, defensive-minded bureaucrat. He wanted to sit in his fort and wait.
But Gates had a subordinate who was the exact opposite, Benedict Arnold.
We met Arnold at Ticonderoga. He was fiery, aggressive, and frankly, a bit crazy on the battlefield. He hated Gates. They argued constantly. Gates actually relieved Arnold of command right before the battle.
On September 19th, the first battle happened at Freeman's Farm. The British technically held the field, but they were bled dry by American sharpshooters, Morgan's riflemen. These frontiersmen used rifles with grooved barrels, which were much more accurate than the British muskets. They specifically targeted officers. It terrified the British.
The climax came on October 7th, 1777. The Battle of Bemis Heights. Burgoyne tried one last desperate attack.
General Gates ordered his men to stay in their fortifications. But Benedict Arnold, who was technically confined to his tent, couldn't stand it. He grabbed his horse, ignored his orders, and rode to the front.
It was like a movie scene. Arnold was galloping between the lines, waving his sword, shouting, "Victory or death!" The soldiers loved him. They followed him.
He led a charge that smashed through the British defenses. In the final moments of the battle, Arnold was shot in the leg, the same leg he had injured in Quebec. His horse fell on him, shattering the bone.
If Benedict Arnold had died on that field at Saratoga, he would be remembered today as the greatest hero of the Revolution. There would be statues of him in every town square.
Instead, he survived. And he felt unappreciated because Gates took all the credit in the official report. That bitterness is the seed that eventually grows into treason.
But back to Burgoyne. He was beaten, surrounded, outnumbered. On October 17th, 1777, Gentleman Johnny surrendered his entire army, 6,000 men.
It was a shock to the world. A ragtag rebel army had captured an entire British field army.
And this is why Saratoga is the turning point of the war. Not because of the captured soldiers, but because of the audience.
In Paris, King Louis XVI and his ministers were watching. Benjamin Franklin had been in Paris for months, wearing a fur hat and charming the ladies, begging for an alliance.
The French hated the British, but they didn't want to back a loser. They needed proof that the Americans could actually fight.
Saratoga was the proof. 2 days after the news reached Paris, King Louis agreed to a formal alliance.
This changed everything. Britain wasn't just fighting a rebellion anymore, they were fighting a world war. France sent money, troops, and most importantly, a navy.
Without Saratoga, the rebellion likely fails. Without Benedict Arnold's charge, Saratoga likely fails. It's a strange irony.
But while Franklin was drinking champagne in Paris to celebrate, Washington's army was entering its darkest winter yet.
They were marching to a place about 20 miles outside of Philadelphia. A place with a bleak name. Valley Forge.
Join us tomorrow for episode 14. We trudge through the snow into the city of log huts. We witness the starvation, the disease, and the arrival of a mysterious Prussian baron who transforms the army.
I'm Leah.
And I'm Stephen. You can find every episode at pointedwords.com. And this is our story.